the hard shoulder on Newstalk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Okay, now, you couldn't make this up. So we had 700 million the hospital was going to cost, the National Children's Hospital, 2 billion, and they had all sorts of oversight committees, corporate governance, reviews, and we thought, right, well, now it's definitely going to be built and so on. You pick up the paper today and you see the work has stopped and it won't restart, maybe until a vaccine comes. Costs are escalating and there's no agreement between the contractor BAM and the National Paediatric Hospital Board in relation to who's going to pay for the COVID costs. Well, we're joined to try and make sense of this living nightmare for the taxpayer. Dr. Edgar Morgenroth, Professor of Economics at DCU Business School, joins us. Are you surprised at this, Edgar?
Hello, Ivan. Not at all. I think this is going to be the project that's going to give us headlines like the ones we're seeing. Ultimately, the ball was dropped fairly early on when the contract was signed with BAM. And at that point, the state didn't have full plans. And, you know, if you're trying to build a house and you make a change halfway through the building, the builder will definitely hold his hand open and ask for more cash. And that's what we are seeing all the time with this particular project, that as soon as there's any kind of change, as soon as there's any kind of surprise, the taxpayer is asked for more money. So this is going to happen again, and I think we're going to get very tired of it.
What I don't understand is this. Okay, first time fool on me, second time I'm not so sure. Insofar as we learned, this was really investigated and it was reviewed by professional accountants, and they said, well, the two-phase contract wasn't a good idea. The guys who measured the electrical cable got it wrong by 5 kilometres, and there was design creep. But how is it now that all those issues of delays and so on, that there wasn't a formula put in place to say, okay, it's a disaster up to now, we'll call it 2019, that we didn't say, well, going forward, we're going to resolve everything. Why did they not fix it last time around?
I think it wasn't fixable. So the contract would have needed to been torn up. That would have, would have basically left the state in breach of contract. At that point, it would have probably cost us more. So once that contract was signed and it wasn't the best contract, and we're pretty sure that wasn't the case now. Once that was signed, we're basically stuck with it. You know, the whole problem, I think, goes back to the very start of this project, which you may recall, you know, we originally had the matter site, and then there was a kind of a scramble to move to an alternative site, and the one that they're gone for, the James's site, was kind of identified, and there was a real sort of a race to get this started. I think more time should have been taken at that point, A, to have a proper plan in place, so know what we actually need, so that you can then get a contractor to price correctly. And then looking at the contract itself, I'm sure there would have been ways that in which the state could have reduced some of those potential pitfalls by clever drafting. And I think that was also not properly done.
Seems to me there's two new problems. One is, this is the largest construction project in the state. There was 2,000 people working on the site. As a result of social distancing, they've got to cut that back to 1,000 people deployed on the site, and that has obvious consequences, especially with this indoor working. So it seems that the government, in relation to schools, roads, office to public work contracts, that they are making ex gratia payments to contractors on public works contracts. But BAM are now saying in a statement, the National Paediatric Hospital Development Board have confirmed these type of payments will not be available to BAM on this project. It seems to me that's heading straight for court.
That's right. And of course, it's not the first time something involving costs has gone to court either. And it's probably not going to be the last time. That this particular project is A, very, very, very complex, and B, of course, very, very expensive. And any issue around costs is going to usually involve a rather large cost. So it's worth going to court and fighting over it. And that seems to be the approach that was taken by BAM to essentially try and squeeze every last penny and go to court if necessary.
Edgar, who do you blame, like, for this long, sorry saga?
I think the state should have gotten the contract right. I think this is something that we're eminently capable of doing. We have learned over the years from past mistakes in other parts of the system, and there are plenty of them.
Like?
What you know, if you think of the Port Tunnel or Lewis, both of them, those came in well above the originally scheduled costs. You know, and you have plenty of examples from other countries too. It's not just Ireland that makes these mistakes, but, you know, we should learn from them. And that means that people within the public sector need to look across, you know, outside their own silo and look at the experience in other areas. We don't build hospitals very often. So this is the first time pretty much everyone involved will have dealt with a project of this nature. That means that everyone is essentially an amateur. And when you are facing something that you haven't done before, it should be a belts and braces approach. And that includes checking with others across the state sector as to what they've learned from previous mistakes. And that doesn't seem to have happened.
I thought there was a government contracts committee. Was it related to the NTMA, the National Development Finance Agency, that had the best brains in the country for these contracts? Like, I'm thinking, you know, we're going to eventually build a national maternity hospital in Vincent's. I mean, like, do those type of people not have oversight of this?
Well, they didn't in this case, and it is one of those things that you really wonder about. Why was the phone not picked up? The NDFA deals with the public-private partnerships across the state, and they would have expertise that wouldn't be found in other government departments, because they're able to pay a higher wage to bring in people from the private sector. So they would have legal brains there that you wouldn't find elsewhere, and that should have been drawn on. I mean, that's why we're paying these people, and they're there, and that doesn't seem to have been the case.
Okay, we have the new minister who was barking furiously about this in opposition as health spokesman for the opposition. Stephen Donnelly is joining us after 5 o'clock. What do you think are the questions or the challenges facing him here? What should he do?
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, it's he's now holding the baby, but it isn't his baby. He's just been gifted it. What can he do? He needs to see how we can try and minimize the conflict that is going on. And in some cases, it's probably worth the state's while to actually go to court and try and win a few cases against BAM, if that's the approach that they take.
Lawyer up is what you're saying.
It may well be the best option, because the sums involved are very large. As you mentioned at the very start, we're not talking about peanuts here. You know, these are typically many, many millions. And, you know, sometimes it's worth actually paying the lawyers for the fairly substantial costs there to make a point.
And the issue is also, I mean, no one could have predicted the pandemic.
That's true. And it's something that maybe a clause can be drafted that could go into future contracts. But, you know, you're not going to be able to introduce something like that into this particular contract. So this is an unusual event. It inevitably has implications both in terms of delays and costs. In a sense, it's a sort of an act of God. You couldn't predict this easily, but you know, in the future, I think you can easily include some kind of a clause that deals with events such as this, they could recur. You know, we've been talking about this now for a while, that other pandemics could come, other issues could hit us.
Okay.
We should be careful.
Finally, you've looked at public procurement projects in Germany and Holland. This originally started out at 400 million, went to 700, went to 1.7 billion. What do you think it will cost at the end of the day?
It looks like it's going to be more than 2 billion. You know, I don't think the escalation has finished at this point. Hopefully we're not going to find too many large surprises anymore, but all the small ones will add up as well. It's still, while it's pretty spectacular overrun, it's still not going to be anything like the sort of the Berlin airport case, where I think they're, you know, a decade late, and I think possibly 10 billion over budget, which
see, they can afford it. Like, you know, we can.
Well, again, maybe they can, but this is taxpayers' money that isn't being used elsewhere. And again, in our case, I'm sure there are lots of other capital projects that are screaming out for funding that are going to be either delayed or
yes,
or,
and they're going to have to rob from Peter to pay Paul. All right, Dr. Exactly. Edgar Morgenroth, Professor of Economics at DCU, lamenting that the wrong decisions were taken at the early stages to anticipate these difficulties and to prevent the taxpayer being liable, and also saying it might be the best option to go to court. All right, up next.